Before we get to 70 and just 30 more until we get to 100. But I know I would have been at 100 if I'd been able to record. But in any event, we're going to get there. I appreciate you sticking with me and continuing to download and continuing to tune in and grow with Digital Sista. Well, looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter is in the doghouse. And, you know, it's so unfortunate because, you know, I watched the show periodically and I kind of enjoyed it. And I kind of wonder what kind of character he was, because he looks like such a character with the hair, the boots, and all of that, you know, and his wife. He's got his daughter, baby Lisa, son Tucker, and his brother Leland. They're all bounty hunters together, and they apparently work mostly out of Hawaii, even though they have tracked some other people. In fact, he was the one that brought Andrew Lister to justice, who was the, descendant from one of the heirs of the big makeup companies. I can't remember the name right now, but he was the one who brought him to justice. But in any event, it turns out that old Dog isn't as cool as he appears to be. It seems as though his son has gotten a black girlfriend, and they've been going out for about 7 months, and apparently it's not something that Dog really cared for, because he just used quite a bit of the N-word to describe her, and he also wanted his son Tucker to end the relationship because of the fact that he uses the N-word quite a bit, and he didn't want anything, or let's say he didn't want the media to find out about perhaps how he feels about African Americans truly, and he didn't want that to come out because he didn't want to jeopardize his career, jeopardize his show, and everything he's worked for the last 30 years. Well, apparently there must be some dysfunction in the family, because his son recorded the conversation and then later sold it to the National Enquirer for a whole bunch of money, apparently. And it has really really put a wrench in things, because, first of all, there have to be some real issues between father and son beyond, I think, him just having a black girlfriend. There has to be some other issues, because as the son, he found something that he could hang his father for, and that was, you know, his use of the N-word to describe, you know, African Americans and African American woman, his son's girlfriend. And so he found the thing that would hang him, and he didn't have any qualms about it. So I think there's a lot more going on with that relationship than meets the eye, and certainly what we see on the television program. Because, you know, when you watch the show, they look pretty tight-knit. You know, they're looking out for each other as they're going after people that have skipped out on their bonds and things like that. So, you know, you would never get the feeling that there is some great deep animosity between father and son. And so, you know, for his son to hang his father like that, and also to really jeopardize his own income, I mean, he must not have really cared. He must really have some deep hatred for his dad, because as a result of him recording this private conversation, selling it to the Enquirer, making it public for people all over the place to hear, you know, it's really caused A&E to suspend production of Dog the Bounty Hunter television show. And so, basically, you know, he did, I guess, what every white man who spews out the N-word does, calls Reverend Al Sharpton, because, I mean, didn't Don Imus do that? Didn't Michael Richards do that when he exploded at the Comedy Store? And now here we have Dog, who is calling up Reverend Al to meet with him and to, you know, let people know he's not really that person. And I think it's also ironic that Dog, apparently his pastor is African-American, a reverend, I think it's Tim Story, who too was probably shocked at when he learned how he felt. So I think the ramifications for Dog are just beginning to be felt. And, you know, I thought it was very interesting that Reverend Al, you know, I guess he took the call from his office and said he'd be happy to meet with him, but because he's working on an upcoming march, he would not have time to arrange his calendar, but that Dog was certainly welcome to meet with Al Sharpton on the road. And he actually extended an invitation to say, hey, why not come out and march with him to really show that you're the good person that you say you are. So there hasn't been anything in the news about Dog accepting the invitation, so it'll be very interesting to see just what happens. But I think it's pretty incredible that a son would turn on his father like that and cause the demise of the program. And I had a chance to hear a bit more of the phone call, because of course they were playing it all over Tom Joyner. And basically Dog was telling me he couldn't handle that he had this black girlfriend, and he would help his son find another job, but he couldn't handle it. So I'm kind of wondering, A, like, who is this woman that he has this much hatred for? And I wonder, would he still feel the same if his son had, you know, gotten a Native Hawaiian woman as a girlfriend? Would he be spewing that kind of venom against another woman of color or what? But in any event, it's sad because it just lets us know that, you know, racism is a ugly thing. It's a very insidious thing. And I think it really reveals what's truly in people's hearts, despite the image, despite the cool demeanor that they try to present themselves to be. So, you know, it just seems he's not the cool, evolved bounty hunter that he pretends to be. He's unfortunately just another guy who's got a little bit of hatred in his heart, and it came out, and now he's going to have to fix it. And he's really upset because now he thinks that people think of him as Imus. You know, and speaking of Imus, he's going to be back on the radio in December, WABC through ABC Citadel Broadcasting. So, you know, it was about 8 months that he was taken off the air, I believe. I read he settled because his contract was broken for some $20 million. So, you know, he's fine. He's going to be fine. And, you know, his contract, I'm sure, will pay him multi-million dollars. But I guess the question is, why is he back? And why do we still have to hear from this old white man? Is there some new talent that could have been developed to replace him? Or, you know, just some other new voice that we could hear. But I have a feeling with all the hatred and all the tensions going on in the world, you know, nooses are popping up all over the place. They had the second incident of a noose, it was a swastika this time, but it was a noose with another professor at Columbia. So, you know, with all this hatred going around in the air, I think ABC is just kind of fueling the fire. And I'm sure he's probably going to make some new comment. I don't think he's had some great epiphany that he's going to completely change. And, well, it'll just be interesting to see what format the show takes. Will it be the same, or will he become a more enlightened Don Imus? I'm betting that it's going to be more of the same. But in any event, he comes back. Let's see what else is going on in the world today. Oh, I thought it was very good that these funeral protesters were socked with an $11 million verdict. These members of the Westboro Baptist Church, which is a real fundamentalist church out of Topeka, Kansas, they protested the funeral service of Marine Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder, and his father, Albert Snyder, sued the church, and I think he was absolutely right. The jurors awarded Snyder $2.9 million compensatory damages and $8 million in punitive damages. And I think it's absolutely right because it's really, I think, cruel for protesters, A, to show up at a military funeral for a fallen soldier, number one, and it's really horrible that they would show up spewing all this hatred, you know, at this fallen soldier. And my question is, how can you be and call yourself a Christian if at the time of tragedy you are not there to comfort this family? I mean, they lost their son. Their son gave their life for this, you know, crazy war in Iraq. And it, how dare they be there protesting and interrupting the funeral of a fallen service person? It's really, really pathetic. But, you know, getting back to my point, again, that's why you have to really look very carefully at these people who claim to be Christians and whatever. But if you're a Christian, you would be there comforting this family. You would not be there protesting and causing anger and angst at a time that should have been very private and really very sacred for their family. I mean, they're saying farewell to their son, you know, and that should be protected, and there should not be any protesters there. So I'm glad they got socked with a lawsuit. You know, I'm glad that the jurors awarded Mr. Snyder some money for this. It's really sad. But again, it feeds into the atmosphere that we have now in this country. You see in the paper, people are unhappy. They're miserable. I've said that before in other podcasts. There's just so much tension, so much hate going around, and this supposed church is one of them out there spewing it. So I'm glad they get sued, and I hope they have lots of legal problems in the future, because it's just not right to protest at the funeral of a soldier and to mar the memory of a fallen soldier and really just infringe on the privacy of the family as they say goodbye to their loved one. So I'm glad they got sued. In any event, what's going on with Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela? He seems to be courting a lot of celebrities lately. He's met with Kevin Spacey, who apparently praised the Venezuelan government for their support of filmmaking. I don't know, but I don't know how many films are made in Venezuela, but okay. And also there's been Sean Penn and Danny Glover, who we know are kind of political actors in their own right. But the latest person to visit him was Naomi Campbell, the model. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, what he's up to and what kind of propaganda he's stirring up and what is he trying to do. You know, if he's getting the ear of certain celebrities, is he trying to present himself as more moderate, as a person who is involved and knows about the arts, and he's not the dictator that he appears to be? So it's very interesting to see what that's all about. But hey, a lot of people are taking the invitation to go to Venezuela. So hey, very interesting to see what comes out of that. Now, it looks like the Brat, you know, she's been arrested down at an Atlanta nightclub, I believe, that Jermaine Dupri opened recently. But, I mean, come on, rappers. What is it with this behavior? I mean, T.I. just got out on $3 million bail for some craziness, and he's already a convicted felon with weapons charges. I mean, it's crazy. The Brat, I mean, why are you getting arrested? You know, you're smashing a bottle over someone's head because someone bumped you. I mean, come on. Is your career that much on the skids that you have to do this? I mean, come on. Get back into the studio and make some music. That's what people want to see. And I would think you would take note of your fellow female rappers who have done some time or are doing some time and not follow that road. I mean, we had Lil' Kim for her perjury issue. You got Foxy Brown, who still is considering herself a diva, even though she's locked up and is in solitary confinement because of her behavior, her diva ways. I mean, take a look at what's going around and what's going on, and, you know, do something different. So, I mean, come on, get back to making some music and let's hear something more positive about what's going on with your career. This is not the rite of passage that you want to have for your career. What you want to have for your career is some slamming record sales. That's what you want. Well, let's see. I think that's going to be it for now. Oh, no, I got one more thing I want to talk about, which I saw in USA Today that someone wrote in that they were absolutely appalled at the golden parachute that former CEO Stanley O'Neill of Merrill Lynch received. Well, you know, he's one of the three probably elite CEOs of a major company that was left. And he's an African-American man, too. But, you know, I mean, we scream about when some of these other guys, white guys, get these golden parachutes. And, yeah, people are upset, but they kind of expect it. We're conditioned to expect it. But I don't think people are conditioned to see a black man get a ton of money like this, because Stanley's going to get $160 million, a corporate office for 3 years, and a paid executive assistant for 3 years. So he will still have a presence and be a consultant, yada, yada, yada. But that's what these guys get when you're a CEO. I mean, this is what the late Reginald Lewis talked about in his book, Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? You know, you become a CEO, you get these kinds of perks, and that's the way it is. So if people are unhappy about that, then we as shareholders need to really speak up and really put the brakes on a lot of these packages that a lot of these guys are getting just by virtue of a title. So yes, you may be upset, but you need to be upset at Merrill Lynch. You need to be upset at some of these big companies where they apparently have millions of dollars to slosh away and pay off employees that don't perform. You know, they can afford it. So don't be mad. We should rise up as investors and hold these companies more accountable. And eventually, over time, I think you would see a constricting or a more realistic pay for a lot of these CEOs. But until that happens, it's going to continue the way it is. So we shouldn't really get upset unless we get in there and force our legislators to change the laws. But, you know, these are the people that work at these companies, so they're not going to do that. So we're going to have to figure out a way to make, I think, CEO pay more equitable and more tied to performance. But again, that's the shareholders' job. In any event, I think that's it for now. Just have a good week and continue to download the podcast. I really appreciate you tuning in. Digital Sister signing out.